Now, can that be remedied with him? Yes, when he has a little more freedom, just the standards auditing sessions which are given in the group auditor's handbook will bring him up to a point where he will grant more beingness to people. It will do this. You could run it just as a straight process, as a group sessionist grants a beingness the front wall, some beingness the back wall. So you could do this if you wanted to. But again, this is too much significance in the process. The reason he's not granting beingness is because he himself is enchained and enslaved, and he feels himself attacked to some degree by the environment, and you've got to get him up to a point where he has a little more operating margin in his survival. And if he has a little more survival margin and so forth, he's willing to let somebody else survive. He begins to treat survival as a commodity. There's only 5 quarts of it in the world, and he's darned if anybody's going to get any part of those 5 quarts, because he knows he needs it all himself. Now, there you can tell immediately a good auditor and a bad auditor, so there is a case computation at the bottom of group auditing, isn't there? An individual who is afraid of effort is a good mark of that. Now, people recognize that instinctively, that a fear of effort, an unwillingness to put out energy or effort and so forth, is right there along with bad off, won't grant beingness, got to slow other people down too. So we have a group auditor who sits down, who puts his feet on a desk and audits a group. Oh, no, we don't. The group won't get well, won't recover, won't do anything. Why? They'll sit there and run the commands because they've heard that Scientology is a good thing. But they say, this guy doesn't care. He isn't interested. There is no necromancy involved here. We don't have a beam of energy coming out from the group auditor, settling over like a little star over the head of every person. That is not the case in point. But there's another case in point. There's the simple matter of duplication of a communication. Why do people recognize this rather instinctively, that a person doesn't care and so forth, if he hasn't any energy or effort? Well, here's this individual. He seems to have some vitality. If he's got some vitality, the communication line has as its source point vitality. And whatever it's got as its effect point at the beginning, it will at least wind up at the end of it with vitality. If you've ever talked to somebody for a while in a rather bored tone of voice, you have found them after a while getting kind of bored. Well, this is just Q&A. Have you ever listened to somebody who was very electrifying, William Jennings Bryan sort of a speaker? I mean, boy, pound and howl and beat and so forth. Look at an audience that has been talked to this way. They're aroused. They definitely are aroused. Man didn't say anything logical at all any time during the time he was talking. And yet, just simply the fact that they're duplicating a speaker who seems to have some vitality comes on through to the audience and gives them some vitality. But does it give them some vitality, or do they simply duplicate that vitality? They just duplicate it, that's all.